Good morning, everyone. Pastor Laura extended Mission Month by 1 week, so you get all of January and 1 week of February to hear a little bit about the missions that this church supports. And so I'm very grateful that she asked myself and John to come and share a little bit. So I'd like to say thank you so much for that you do support me as a minister in Young Life, and you have been a supporter of Young Life in this community, a mission to the teenagers in New Westminster and Burnaby. And maybe some of you don't know too much about Young Life. You may not know that you support this church supports Young Life. So that's why I'm here, to share a little bit about Young Life, to give you a bit of an update and a bit of an encouragement from Scripture that this body of Christ is involved in bringing the Word of God to teenagers here in New Westminster and Burnaby. So thank you for inviting me through Pastor Laura. So, Young Life, we share the gospel with teenagers. I get to read from Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John on a Monday night to a group of teenagers that me and a group of other volunteer leaders have befriended. One of us gets to stand up and open the Bible and tell them who Jesus is. And it's such a gift to be able to do that. Today, I'd like to read from Acts. So I hardly ever read, I don't think I've ever read from Acts at Young Life Club, but I think reading from Acts today is appropriate because I'd like to talk about the church. I'd like to talk about us, and I'd also like to talk about the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to start, talk about Young Life a little bit later, but I'm going to read from Acts 4, and you could follow along if you would like, but I'm also going to paraphrase a little bit, so it might be hard for you to follow along. So just a heads up. So Acts 4, we all know that Pentecost has happened. There's been two major evangelistic speeches. And right before Acts 4 starts, Peter and John have come, they've come up to pray at the temple for their regular prayer time, and they've seen this man who's been crippled for 40 years. And he's begging, and they turn to him, and they say, what we don't have money for you, but we do have is Jesus, so be healed. And he stands up and he's healed. And so crowds are gathering in and they're wanting to know what has happened. And so Peter and John are sharing more about Jesus. And that's where we pick up. The priests and the captains of the guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. And they're watching what's happening. They're watching Peter and John proclaiming Jesus. And they're watching the Jews and other people gathering in and listening intently to Peter and John. It says they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So they seized Peter and John and dragged them off to prison. Because it was evening, they threw them in jail and they were going to deal with them in the morning. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. So this is one more the end of his second evangelistic speech and this miracle, and now there's 5,000 men, so maybe 5,000 more women and children that are now believing in the name of Jesus and the resurrection and the life that they can have. Here's what happens. The next day, the elders and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them, and they began to question them. By what power do you do this? So they dragged them up front, put them on trial, a sort of trial. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness showed to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this. You and all the people of Israel, it is the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which they must be saved. So they're astonished. They're astonished at Peter's boldness and clarity of saying it's Jesus. And the words that seem to have come out of nowhere from him, because they know, they see, it says next. They saw his courage and they realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, but they took note that they had been with Jesus. And the man was standing right there, the man who'd been healed. So they're in quite a conundrum. You can just imagine them kind of turning to each other now and saying, all right, what are we going to do? Just, we're stumped here. So they conferred together. Verse 16. What are we going to do with these men, they asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop them from spreading this any further, we must warn them no longer to speak in this name. So they tell them, you can go, but just stop. Just stop this business, please. Well, maybe they don't say please. Just stop this business. They threaten them. And Peter and John say, which is right in God's eyes? You tell me what you think. Priests, which is right in God's eyes? To listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. There's further threats, and they send them on their way, and Peter and John head back to their fellow believers and their friends, the apostles and the disciples. And here's how they respond. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant David, our father. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and with the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they had met, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So it's an astonishing little account of Peter and John and the apostles and the early church and their beginning interactions with the priests. It's an astonishing account. And I think there's many things that stand out, but what I would like to highlight is the prayer that seems to be characteristic of the early church. They don't come back in and say, guys, look what we did. We talked to the priests. We told them off. We've got the power now. Their immediate reaction is just to give glory to God, to pray, to ask for more of the Holy Spirit and direction, and just to give glory to God. Their reaction is to pray. And that's what the beginning church, the early church, and who we are. We're people that pray and give glory to God and subsequently would be able to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak boldly. And I do love the line that Peter says, well, we cannot stop telling people about Jesus. And that is what I often think about when I think about Young Life, is that we won't stop telling kids about Jesus. And that's probably what people who know Young Life a little bit would think about. Yeah, they're people that go, they meet kids and love them, and they won't stop telling them about Jesus. But what I think is right is really that we must be people that are characterized by prayer. Because none of that can happen or be really worth anything or have any power without prayer. And it's our prayers, it's the prayer of the church, this church, many other churches, that would make it possible for, when we pray, God send workers into the field, that would make it possible for there to be connections, that would make it possible for kids to be able to respond, because it's not our power or our cleverness that helps kids respond. It's the movement of the Holy Spirit prompted by our prayer. And so thank you for praying for kids. And thank you for praying for all the things that you pray for. And I would hope and encourage myself to pray more for the mission that goes on locally and all over the world, because it's our prayer that God has called us to be part of. That's our role. And then he moves and prompts us and sends people. I have a short video that I'd like to show you. And I think this video was made 2 years ago at a big Young Life celebration in Florida, which I unfortunately didn't get to attend. But we have access to the video. And I chose it because it's a beautiful video. If you don't know much about Young Life, you'll get a chance to see, oh, that is what Young Life is. That's how they do it and so forth. But I chose it because it's called It All Started With a Prayer. And that is what I believe. So take a look. I know that all the fruit that I've seen in my involvement with Young Life in Burnaby and New Westminster and the Tri-Cities is because of the prayers of many people. There's this girl named Alyssa, and she started going to Young Life 2 years ago. Her friend invited her, and she spent lots of time with a leader named Jenny. And last year, she accepted Christ, and it was a strange and wonderful miracle. You know, we know that it works when we love teenagers in their world and share Christ, that they do respond. But it's a miracle, and I get to meet with her weekly and just read scripture and help her understand it. It's amazing. At New Year's camp this year, I overheard a kid telling his leader, and I've never heard anything about Jesus before. This is the first time I've ever heard anything about Jesus. And that was very exciting to me, too, because I knew they were going back to their cabins and they're having great conversations about what they've heard. And they had leaders that would go home with them and continue those conversations. I hope that video gave you a little bit of a picture, but Young Life mission and ministry it's really very simple. It's just people, the local church from many different churches that have a vision for teenagers hearing about Jesus, and coming together to pray for kids. That Young Life started because that woman, Clara, had prayed for 7 years for the kids that lived across the street from, at the high school across the street from her house. So she prayed for them for 7 years, and then this movement started that of people going to kids. So it's Young Life's very simple. It's just people with a vision praying for kids and people coming together and going to those kids. So I just want to thank you for your support. Thank you for praying for kids. Thank you for praying for all the mission work that God has called this church and the Universal Church to. And my final kind of encouragement or hope is that I think prayer is difficult. I would confess that I pray too little. And so the thought that came to mind was Mark 4, where the disciples have gone out and they're trying to do some mission work. And they are not able to do it. They come because they think it relies on their power. And then this whole interchange happens. And the father says, Jesus says, if you believe, anything is possible. And the man says, well, I do believe. Help me overcome my belief. And so that's my hope for me, myself. I do believe. Help me to pray. And for maybe people in this room, I don't know, that you would also have the ability to pray. Lord, I do believe. Help me to pray today. So thanks very much. I think I don't know what happens next exactly. So I'm just going to carry on.
Thank you, Jenna. Okay, what's next is we're going to pray. Lord God, maker of heaven and earth, you made magnificent mountains and the oceans and tiny worms and bugs and everything in between, and you made us. You are an amazing and powerful, and yet you love each of us dearly. Thank you for guiding our lives and ruling all of creation. In the knowledge of your love and your power, we bring before you our prayers for our world. Lord of hosts, guide the leaders of our world and give your wisdom to all who are making decisions. Send your peace on earth. In you alone, the maker of heaven and earth, we find our help. Gracious God, may our Christian friends throughout the world feel your power and strength. Bring an end to fighting among believers and the persecution of believers by unbelievers. Give our missionaries courage and compassion. In you alone, the maker of heaven and earth, we find our help. God of compassion, bless us and those we love with safety, health, and endurance. In you alone, the maker of heaven and earth, we find our help. Our help comes from you, the maker of heaven and earth, and for you, you watch over us in day and night. And you have provided for all we need through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
My name is John, if you don't know me. I've got a sinus issue going on, so if it looks like I'm out of breath, I just want you to think I'm working really hard up here. I asked to go second today because I just wanted to say some things about Jana. I had the privilege of working with Jana in Young Life for a number of years. And there's two things that I appreciate about her. Well, there's many things, but two I'm going to tell you. One that you already witnessed today. But the first thing is whenever Jana and I met, and we met on a weekly basis, I always knew that she was my friend first and my boss second. I always knew that she cared, she was praying for me, she was uplifting me and supporting me. And so I always appreciated that. But the second thing, and you saw it today, is Jana has a kingdom mindset. And it's not just because she works in Young Life. That's who Jana is. I can't even imagine the ripple effect of the impact that she's had on teenagers and young leaders in New West, Burnaby, and the Tri-Cities. So I just wanted to say thank you to Jana, and can we give her a round of applause? So this morning I get to share with you about Barnabas, and if you don't know what Barnabas is, that's it. That's my office. It's pretty beautiful. We're on the Sunshine Coast on Keats Island. And I'll give you just a little bit of a history. Back in February 1972, my uncle Rob, who's Laura's brother, began praying a crazy, audacious prayer. He prayed, "God, give me a vision for my entire life." And I've prayed that prayer many times. I never got an answer like he got. But he started that prayer in February 1972. He prayed it regularly. And in October of that same year, he had an answer. He was given a vision for his entire life. And it was very specific. It was that he was to start a family camp, or a camp aimed towards families and adults. And it was supposed to take place on this particular piece of property on Keats Island. At the time, the property was a farm, and it was owned by a guy who was not a believer. He was actually a pretty terrible man. There's a lot of really bad stories. Rob approached this guy, and he said, "Hey, this is what I'm thinking." And the guy kicked him off the property immediately. He's like, "This will never happen. Get out of here." And so it seemed to Rob that, you know, the door was closed. He didn't doubt that God had given him this vision, but the door was closed, at least for that time. And so he went and pursued seminary. He wanted to be trained. And while he was in seminary, he spoke to some of his professors that he really admired. And he said, "You know, I feel like God gave me this vision." And they gave an answer that's like my least favorite answer in the world. They said, "God doesn't work that way." And so to him, that was like another door closed. These were people that he respected, and they said, "Nope, that doesn't sound right." And so Rob spent some time pastoring. He actually took a position at Young Life for a number of years. And it was 14 years after he had that initial vision that some of his friends were praying over him and said, "Hey, why don't you take some steps to see if God wouldn't open some doors now. And there's a lot of doors that open. There's more than I can really tell you, but I'll name a couple. The first one, the man who owned this property, he died and left it to his nephew from Nova Scotia. His nephew moved out here. He was on the property for a couple of years, but at this same time that Rob was sort of pursuing things, this guy started to feel homesick. He wanted to go back to Nova Scotia. And so he agreed to sell some of his land over to Barnabas. Another incredible door that opened is Rob began a friendship with Dr. James Dobson at Focus on the Family. And Dobson said, yeah, I'll support this. This is a great idea. And so Barnabas had this this huge push, this huge endorsement. And that was another huge open door. Another really cool one that I can't really even explain properly, but the day that Rob went to this man and said, hey, this is what I want to do, he tried to freeze the property so that no development could ever happen. But there was a clerical error. It got missed. It never happened. And so Barnabas was able to build. So that was another pretty incredible thing. And so in 1986, Barnabas was established. Our mission, we're all about strengthening, educating, and encouraging families. In the summertime, we run 10 weeks of family camps. The entire family gets to come to camp together. And we have a lot of intentional time where the family is together, where they're on the waterfront doing crafts, playing games, going for hikes, having meals together. Just a lot of focused time where they're together. But then we also have a lot of intentional time where the family is apart. Adults have incredible speakers that they go to sessions with. And then we put on a kids program for different age groups of the kids. And every night, this is, I think, one of the favorite things about Barnabas for parents. Every night we put the kids to sleep so that the parents can have a date night, like every night. And so it's pretty cool. Throughout the rest of the year, we run conferences like Marriage Refreshment, Preparing for Marriage, Mother Daughter, Father Son, and I have a video as well that I'll show you. And this is just a really quick highlight video of a weekend that we did in September. It was like a father son weekend and a dad daughter weekend, but we sort of did it together, so it was a lot of fun. So take a look. So there you go. Pretty cool, hey? I hope one day my daughter will want to come with me. It's so much fun. What I love about this ministry is exactly that. It's so much fun. We have this privilege of getting to watch families let loose. You know, there's not the everyday distractions. People aren't just sitting there on their phones. They're having fun and spending quality time together as a family. And, yeah, it's such an honor to get to watch it. I think, though, the most humbling thing that I've experienced about working at Barnabas is that God keeps showing up. And whether it be in marriages, we've had so many stories of couples that said they were planning on getting a divorce. And there was one family that said on the ferry, they talked about, we're going to get a divorce. We'll tell our kids at the end of the week. At the end of the week, they decided not to. So there's so many incredible stories like that where God is just showing up. The scripture that I felt led to share with you this morning comes out of Mark 6, chapter 53 to 56. It says this. When they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard Jesus was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. I found myself somewhat obsessed with this passage for the past few months because my daughter had some more health concerns back in the fall. She's totally okay, but there was this three-month period where she wasn't growing fast enough, and so we had to see an insane amount of doctors just to kind of cover all of our bases. And so we had to see our family doctor, a pediatrician, a physiotherapist, an ophthalmologist, an endocrinologist, a DNA specialist, and biochemical diseases. And then she had to get all this blood work done, a cystic fibrosis test, and a growth hormone test. All of it came back normal. It's incredible. God is good. But, man, it was hard. And I found this passage and, yeah, just became obsessed with it. Sometime in November, Paisley had a huge growth spurt, and all the tests, like I said, came back normal. But it was during this time, it was in November, I was asked to speak at a serve and grow retreat that we do at Barnabas, where people just come up, they volunteer for the weekend, they pay to come and volunteer for the weekend, it's crazy. We feed them well, and then we just do some teaching. So I shared a devotional one morning, and I was just talking a little bit about what was going on with my family, with Paisley. And this one guy came up to me afterwards, and he prayed for me, and then he shared a word for me. And for whatever reason, like, it meant the world to me. And it reminded me of this passage. These people reached out, they just touched the fringes, you know, like the edges of Jesus' garment. And as many as touched it were made well. This little moment, this guy just said, hey, let me pray for you. And it was like this fringe moment. It wasn't a huge deal, but it meant the world to me. And I started to feel the sense like God was making me well. There's another story that's really, really cool at Barnabas. During the first few years, we didn't have any buildings. So you can see here, there's some buildings in the distance. There was nothing there except a farmhouse and then a tent or bathroom. And so when people came up in the summer, they had to just set up their tents in the orchard and sort of rough it. It was awesome. So there was this single mom that came up with her two boys, and she was trying to set up the tent. The boys were running around. Nobody was helping her, and she was breaking down. And she just said to herself, I don't want to be here, but I'm on an island, and I can't get off. And so she went into the bathroom, and she saw there was just a small little vase of fresh flowers, and she started to cry because she felt like when she saw these flowers, she felt somebody loved her. And so she decided to stay. She decided that she could make it. At Barnabas, we always put fresh flowers in everybody's rooms. We put fresh flowers in the bathrooms. And before this moment, it was just like, oh, this is nice. You know, it's a cool little touch. But after hearing this story, it changed the mindset. It's this tiny little thing that made a huge difference to this mom who was having a hard time. These flowers to her represented God's love, God's goodness. As many as touched the fringes of Jesus' garment were made well. And because of his goodness and out of his abundant love, God uses these seemingly small things, these fringes, flowers, to make us well. So that's a little bit about who we are. We've got a lot of things coming up. If you'd like to check us out, we're doing a focus on prayer weekend in a couple of weeks, personal retreat. We do a single family week during spring break, which is really incredible, and then summer family camps. But I want to echo what Jana said. Thank you that you care enough to pray for missions. It really makes a huge difference. This past year, we felt bathed in prayer. So many incredible things happened. And so thank you for your support and for listening.